Topic is, as you can see, artificial intelligence and halacha. I don't know much about artificial intelligence. I've heard a lot about it, about the chats and whatnot. I haven't used it yet, but I've heard many, many stories of students using them. One funny one, someone was telling me, a Rebbe in the Five Towns was giving a Gemara shir, and he's walking around the room, and one of the boys is not looking at the Gemara. The Gemara is completely closed. He's on the computer. So he asks the boy, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm writing a Dvar Torah." He says, "Are you really?" "Not really, but I asked our AI, artificial intelligence, what do I respond to my Rebbe?" He asks what I'm doing. That's what I told him to do. So we are in a very, very strange, strange time in the world, and artificial intelligence is going to make it even stranger. Hopefully they'll make some limitations on the abilities of it, but that does present many interesting shilas in the area of halacha. The most basic one right now, which is being used, unfortunately, quite often, is the use of artificial intelligence for writing a paper in school, kids, the college reports, speeches. Apparently, you could just put in a few words, a few questions, and it shoots out as many words, paragraphs as you want with a variety of sources. Sounds like a lot of fun. So the question becomes, so that's just a basic answer. I'll just deal with that quickly. Then we'll get to a more interesting topic afterwards. So first, let's address the question of, is it allowed, can one use AI in order to write a report for school, for college, whatever they're filling it in? And the answer already is found in Rav Moshe Feinstein, who of course was not addressing AI, who's addressing cheating in general. Is a person allowed to cheat? Are you allowed to plagiarize? And he explains, obviously one's not allowed to, and he says there are two reasons why a person can't cheat on tests. If you take a look at number one, it's a well-known tshuva of Rav Moshe, but it's kedai to see inside. Those who've seen it, it's good chazara. Number one, Rav Moshe writes, Choshe Mishpat Chelik Beis Siman Lamed as follows. Read the underline. Hinei b'davar she'laso amash shama shebishivos matirin latamidim lignov as atshuvos la'shelos. That the students, the yeshivas, openly let the students steal the tests and the answers. Mibechine asiyum she'osa medina, the regions at the end. I grew up in Jersey. We didn't have regions in Jersey, but in New York they have regions. So they let them steal. Is that allowed? This way, they have a passing mark. And the students are smart anyways. Why waste their time? Let them just get a passing mark anyways. Is that allowed? Hine, davar ze aser. Lo rak midini de malchus. Not only is it against the government, and when you live in a country, you have to follow the rules, and that's another topic. Ela midin ha-Torah. There's a iser daraisa to steal a test. Ve'ein ze rak gnevas das. It's not only a violation of gnevas das. Gnevas das is when a person is tricking someone. You trick someone, you steal someone's mind. What's an example? The classic example is, I know you're out of town this coming Shabbos. Great time to invite you over to a meal, right? Oh, we'd love to have you for a meal this Shabbos, right? Oh, I'm sorry, we can't really make it the Shabbos. Oh, shucks. I knew you were going to come. I tricked you in thinking I liked you. I tricked you in thinking that I wanted to have you over. That's gnevas das. So this is certainly gnevas das, of tricking the people what grades you got. But it's not only Gnevas Das, says Moshe. Shagam kein aser. Gnevas Das is also aser. He proves from the Gemara in Nechulin, Shmuel says in Daf Tzadi Daladim, aser lignov das abrios. You can't steal, you can't trick people. Afilu daitel. Shal akum, even a non-Jewish person, you're not allowed to trick. V'kol shekein hacha, certainly here, where you're Gnevas Das l'chuli alma af l'Yisrael. When you're submitting your resume to trick the person that you had a high GPA, you're tricking not only non-Jews, which is aser, but Jews as well. Elohu gam gnevas davar mamish. It's not only gnevas das, but it's actual stealing, like stealing money. You want to get a parnas, you want to get a job, you want to be a lawyer, a doctor, you want to hire yourself. Eitzel echa lavod be'asakov, to work for his business. Rotzim berov ha'pamim, mostly the employers want, who did good? Who has good grades in math and in science and in history and in English? I want to see the report cards. Who year I low? How to look? I got great scores. I got a 4.0 GPA across the board. Based on this, kiblu, you got the job. You're stealing money from the business. So that's what he wrote about stealing tests. So this would not be, it would be a similar discussion. You hand in a report, you get a great grade because AI does a great job at writing a report for you. So now you got great grade that you cheated on, you plagiarized, whatever the legal concerns will be, And for that reason, it's certainly usur to hand in a report based on AI. Now, how schools will monitor this, it's very, very difficult. I was speaking to a menahel, a local menahel up in the five towns, what they plan to do. They don't know just yet. One suggestion, he said, which probably won't really fly very well, is don't let the children use computers to write. They have to go the old way, write with the paper and pen. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Even I had them. Me too. I grew up with paper and pens. You have a first draft and a second draft, and you cross out. Now computers, so if they have to hand in, even if they want to use AI to send 6 pages of report, they still have to write each one down. That's one suggestion, but they really don't know how to figure this out just yet.
Train AI to check reports to see if they were written.
I'm sure there's a way to do that, right? How to check itself. So they'll figure it out a way. Not my, not my responsibility, but certainly on the radar.
There was AI that was Wikipedia.
Yeah, sure. But there are easy ways to find that out, to figure out whether...
That requires a little more...
Exactly.
Would that have been as usur?
No, because Wikipedia, it's a source. It's like looking up in the dictionary, an encyclopedia. Exactly. But to copy someone else's work is not plagiarizing in the legal term, because you're not copying Ruvain's. If it was created for you, it's unique.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not your work, and therefore it's misrepresenting your report. Question?
Yeah, many times a teacher will allow a student to use his notes during a test, and
open book
this
test.
Is like stored up information that's been stored up. Maybe he forgot it, but by referring to his notes, he uses it.
Yeah,
isn't that a form of artificial intelligence?
No, because that was a note that he produced on his own. He may have forgotten it, but he gets the effort for writing those notes from 5, 10 years ago, 5 months ago. Artificial is he did nothing other than type in a few keywords and zero. Now,
but his old intelligence had been stored up some way, and now he's going to present himself as being totally competent based upon his old intelligence.
That would be, I think, misrepresenting. If he's someone now, he's now 80, he's signed to go back to when he was 30, however that works, that would be misrepresenting who he is right now. Now, another case would be speech writing, not for classes. Let's say a speaker comes, a rabbi comes to speak, and he wants to have a very nice professional speech written out. Can he use AI? Now, it wouldn't be Gnev, he's not stealing money, but is that considered misrepresenting? So my understanding is many of the great speakers we have out there, presidents, certainly don't write their own speeches. It's already known that they have speech writers, multiple speech writers. So AI would just be another speech writer. I don't think that would be considered Gnevas Das. Now, if you have somebody who presents himself as a person who writes his own speeches, then that would be considered Gnevas Das. But many of the great speakers do not write their own speeches.
Isn't there a concept that calls Palmer the barber same old road? So that you should at least disclose?
You should, you know, an interesting point, but the AI is getting it from what other sources,
the
Rambam.
That are using somebody else's work
right.
To disclose?
It's a good question, but when we do work, you know, you don't always quote every single, you try to do the best you can, but AI is just getting it from the Rambam. They're getting it, you could do a sugyas. They will tell out, they will write sugyas out for you, also.
So. Plagiarizing another author's work would be forbidden.
Plagiarizing certainly would, 100%. Now, let's get to a question which is, yeah. Samples for what? To give in as a report or a speech?
As a speech.
It would be any plagiarizing would certainly be.
Plagiarizing?
Yeah, I think so. You could use an idea. You could, but to write your own Dvartar. That's how the websites have authors. But then let's move on to another question because we do have a little amount. It's a fun topic. There's not that much time. This next question, the answer will be obvious to each one of you, but it's a fun topic to explore. Can one use AI as a posek? As a posek, as a rabbi, what does that mean? Obviously, the answer is no, but it's a fun topic to get to the importance of being a posek and what a rav responsibilities are. So what does that mean? In theory, you could write a question, what is the, milchik ladle was placed in my fleshik hot soup, what's the answer? You plug it in and AI is going to spew out some answer that it was able to figure out. Is that something that a person could rely on? Now, let's talk about websites for a moment. You could find in many websites these answers. Star K, or you will have some of these answers. Can you rely on websites? And the answer is certainly you can. You can rely on websites because it's written by an author, by a rabbi that you know. As long as you know the author of the website is reputable, that would be acceptable. Now, take a look at a very interesting Pisrei Tshuva number 2 to this point here. The Pisrei Tshuva quotes from the Shvus Yaakov as follows. If you look at number 2. Shekosav l'chach roi l'chol mishia gil hora. Whomever reaches the age, the level, the experience, the knowledge of giving a psak halacha. Shlo yoresh shum hora. He should not render a psak bilti in tchila b'sefer without looking into it first, being ma'ayin into the sukkah, then the sugya, ki rabboseinu hein hein hasfarim. Our rabbis nowadays are the books. Asher nispashtu bekerev Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, with the advancement of the publishing and the printing, all of that, there's so many books, so many sfarim out there. They are our rabbis, he writes. As long as we have everything written down, we don't need an actual rabbi. The posek has to decide based on halacha, he has to learn the sugya well, but the rabbis are the svarim. So too, in theory, a person could use the websites as sources of information for psak halacha. Now that exists out there. But of course, this is very, very dangerous. It's very dangerous for a number of different reasons why a person should not be using a website as halacha. Now, website's a great source of information. Some answers are pretty straightforward, but some of them are not always so straightforward. Just for example, you have different opinions. What bracha do you say on cranberries? Now, cranberries has a lot of shilas when it comes to bugs. But let's say you ate a cranberry that was bug-free. What bracha do you say? So you could probably type it in. It'll tell you an answer. Any suggestions what you would say? Just, what bracha on a cranberry? Ha'etz? Adama. So there's a big machlokas. What? Adama or ha'etz? So you might get one website that tells you ha'etz. And that might be wrong. You might get another one that says Adama. So which one is it? You have to have, what? Mopi, no, well, one is right. One has to be right. Hadamah is certainly safer. All I'm pointing out is that you only get one perspective. It may not be what's best for you or what your rabbi would be saying. That's number one. Number two, the reason why websites are so dangerous, and even more so AI, is because you lack a relationship with a Rav, with a person who could help guide you, help inspire you. A Rav is there to help give you halacha guidance. He's there to give you hashkafa guidance. He's there to inspire you. If you are just remaining anonymous in the community without a relationship with a Rav or a Rabbanim there, you have probably peaked in your ability to grow. You've peaked in your ability to be inspired. There's a fascinating discussion. There's a mitzvah in the Torah of Shoftim v'Shotrin that you have to set up a Beis Din, a court system. And the different reasons why. So many in each city. Why do you have to have so many? The simple reason why there has to be a Beis Din in every city, in every pelach, and every year of year, is so it's accessible. There's one location, we all have to go to the one location for our Din Torah, the lines will be out the door. So we have to have accessible, or if it's so, it takes 3 days to get to Yerushalayim, forget about it, I won't go to the Beis Din. But if it's down the block for me, it's accessible, the lines will be shorter, and I'll go to it. The Rambam says another reason why you have to have a Beis Din in every single location. It's because the very presence of a Beis Din inspires a person. A Makom Torah, a Makom Beis Din, that inspires a person. If your source of information is AI, your source of information is the websites to get your halachic psak, so not only may you get the wrong psak, but even if you get the correct psak, you're missing that connection to a Rav, a person who might guide you in a very different way. Another reason why it's tricky to get halacha from AI websites is because not every question is so clear-cut. Not every question is black and white. There are very many areas that are very gray. And sometimes the person even asking the question doesn't know how to ask the question. One of the most important things for a rabbi is to figure out what the question really is. To probe a little bit, to ask further questions, because the person asking may not know what the question is. So he might say, what do I do in this situation? He's not asking the correct question. So if there's no rabbi who has experience to help guide you, that would of course be another difficult, another good reason why a person should not rely on any psak halacha from AI. Now, another reason, and we're going through just make sure we have all the reasons down. Another reason is because there's something we discussed a few weeks ago before Pesach, is that part of being a posek, you have to be, it's called part of the Mesorah, the Balei misar. We have to be part of that tradition. And not everything we do goes based on halacha. A lot of what we do goes based on misorah, goes based on minhagim. There's Yushalmi. If you take a look in the Mar Makomos here, if you look at number 3, the Yushalmi Nivamos, your base, Perak base of Yushalmi, it's a discussion about which types of shoes one could use for chalitza. And it says if Eliyahu Navi comes and tells us what we're doing is wrong, Eliyahu Navi knows halacha. He's up in Shemaim, he knows halacha, and he tells us that our minhag is wrong, we invoke the concept, number 3 here, in the bold, va minhag mivatel es halacha. The minhag is going to override what the halacha is. Even though there's an absolute halacha, what is supposed to be, the rabbis down here, the people down here, have somehow created their own tradition with siyata d'shmaya, and the minhag is mevatel the halacha. So even though AI may be able to produce the correct halacha, that might not be the correct practice. And therefore, only a person could be considered as part of the Balei HaMesora. Now, another reason is as follows. We learn Masech HaSotah now in Daf Yomi. We saw a few days ago a fascinating discussion. If you look at number 4 here, the Gemara there is discussing. I didn't bring the whole Gemara there. The Gemara is discussing maybe 10 different opinions. What is the Zman of Bia, the Zman of Stira, for a woman who's already been warned by her husband of Kinoi? If she's now B'makum Stira with that man, she's now subject to the rules of Sota. How long does one have to be B'makum Stira? So there's a slew of suggestions. One of the suggestions is made by a person, a great, great person named Ben Azi. Ben Azi made one suggestion. Whatever the shear he made, this is the shear of Stira. Asks the Gemara, but Ben Azi wasn't married. How'd he know what shear Stira? You look at number 4, Vahika Ben Azai, the little Nasiv, he was never married. Ibai Seima Nasiv Uparish, he was married, then he got divorced. Okay. Ibai Seima Mirebi Shumayele, hear from his Rebbe. So he didn't know personally, but he knew from his Rebbe. Third answer is Ibai Seima Sod Hashem the Rav. Those of your Shemaim, those who are at a very high level, don't actually have to know the reality. They have a connection to the secrets of the Torah to figure it out on their own, which is fascinating. Certainly websites nor AI have anywhere near Sod Hashem the Rav. You have to have your Shemaim to be Zocha to learn to Paskin Aliva the Hilchasa. Yeah.
When they come up with the Zman for a Yichudim.
That, remember? It's a bit similar to these Sugyas in the Sota. Similar to these Sugyas. Now, so we see there's a very important part of having Sod Hashem li Re'av. That Sod Hashem, the secrets of Psak Halacha are only privy to those who are your Shemaim. That's where it comes down. Now this word Sod, if I could go on just for a very nice idea for a moment in Machshav and Chassidus, maybe even perhaps Kabbalah, there's something we know called Pardes. The Gemara Chagiga talks about 4 great Tanaim who went to a place called Pardes, a beautiful orchard. Pardes stands for Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. 4 areas of Gemara, happens to be of Halacha, Chazal, there's actually a 5th, which is a little hidden, Razin de Razin, which is even more secret than that. But the 4 basic ones are Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. Now Riza points out, in each of these 4 categories, there's also a Pardes of each one. In other words, within Pshat, there's a Pardes of Pshat, like we have in Sefiras Omer, those who say, Hod Sheba Hod, or Yesod Sheba Gvura. So we have a Pshat, Sheba Pshat. We have a Remez Sheba Pshat. We have a Drush Sheba Pshat, and a Sod Sheba Pshat. The highest level of Pshat, the basic level is learning Bekiyas, let's just say. It's learning Pshat, how to teach. Maybe Remez is learning the Rishonim, I'm just suggesting, the Lav Davka. Drush is learning the Lumdus. And Sod, you know what Sod is? Psak Halacha. Aliba de Hilchasa. It's the highest level. How do I know it's the highest level? So look at the Gemara in Sota as well. We saw a few days ago, 2 weeks ago, the Gemara says in Sota, Dav Zayin Amr Beis. Number 5. Mai dichsiv yichi Ruvain vayamus v'zos liYehuda. The connection of Ruvain, he didn't die, to that of Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Kol osan shan she'ashanim shayu yisob ha-midbar, all the years that we spent traveling through the Midbar, they were busy shaking, they're trembling in the Aron. Ad she'amen Moshe, ubike shel Avraham. Moshe davened on his behalf, the bones' behalf. Amr lefana ribono she'olam, mi garm Ruvain shehoda. Who was the one who inspired Ruvain to admit what he did? Was it not Yehuda? Bezos Yehuda. Miad Hashem called Yehuda. Hashem heard. The bones stop moving. Still, even though the bones stop moving, the yeshiva shamala, says the Gemara. The mesifta rekiya. But Yehuda was not let inside. He had to stand on the outside. So then Moshe says, V'lamo tivyanu, bring him inside. So he was allowed inside the base medrash. He couldn't hold cup. He couldn't talk to them in learning. He was like, he was in the base medrash, but he stood in the corner by himself. So you did Rav Lo, give him strength. So they were able to start talking and learning. They were going back and forth, shakli v'tarya. But still, he wasn't zocha to the highest levels of libud hilchasa. Let him have the extra help, and then he was zocha to libud hilchasa. The Gemara goes on. We see the highest level is a libud hilchasa. Is getting to the base medrash, is to be able to learn with each other, and then to paskin a shiloh like you, a libud hilchasa. That's the sod of pshat. That's sod Hashem li'reyav. And that certainly AI can never come to. It has to be a human being, a person that you're shemai, a person who's got a mesorah to get to that level. Now, that's a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh. And then, just one more proof for this idea, that Psak Halacha is the highest level of learning. There's a Gemara in Brachos, in number 6, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that tells us, maybe I'll share a great story at the end, I think we have a couple of minutes based on this sugya here. The Gemara says that you wake up in the morning, you have to say Birchas HaTorah. What type of learning requires Birchas HaTorah? So I'll say this outside, one opinion says, when you read Psukim, you have to read Birchas HaTorah. But Medrash doesn't require. The next opinion says even Medrash requires Birchas HaTorah, but Mishnah doesn't. The next opinion says even Mishnah requires, but Gemara doesn't. And then Gemara then finally says even Talmud requires Birchas HaTorah. What's so great about Talmud, about Gemara? Zok Rashi number 7. Af le Gemara tzarech levarech, you have to say Birchas HaTorah and learning Gemara. Shehu Iker HaTorah, that's the Iker Torah. Why is this the Iker Torah? Shemimenu Hora'a Yotza, because that's the source where Hora comes. That's the essence of learning. It's the idea to learn Lamnis is a very big idea, very big idea. But the highest level of learning is Alibud Hilchasa, a Hora. That's Sod Hashem, the Reyav. And that you have to be a Yirei Shemayim to get to that level, to have a level of Ruach HaKodesh like Ben Azai had. Even though he didn't have any experience, still Sod Hashem, the Reyav. And finally, the last element that one needs to pass and trial is just to review before I do the last one here. We spoke about the idea of the reason why a person shouldn't use AI because you don't know what's their gray areas. You don't know how to ask questions. You have a relationship with the rabbi. There's people part of the Mesorah. You have to have the Sod Hashem li'reyav. And finally, there's a certain siyata d'shmaya that a posek has. There are a few Gemaras. I tried looking up, I forgot exactly where it is. I think in Maseches Erevin, I don't remember which daf though, so I couldn't bring it here. But the Gemara talks about certain Rabbanim who gave a Psak Halacha, and then they were told they were actually wrong. But then afterwards, new information came out about the original Shaila, the rabbi was actually right. Even though he didn't know he was right. Even though the Shaila he was given, he paskin wrong, but Lamaisa, it was a different Shaila, and Psak was actually right, because there's a certain Siyata D'Shmaya that Posek has. Ramban writes this explicitly when it comes to the reason why Sanhedrin Haggadol was in Makom HaMikdash, next to the base of Mikdash. If you write to number 8, the final at the end there, Ki Ruach Hashem al Misharse Mikdash. Those who serve the base of Mikdash, those who preserve the base of Mikdash, Lo Yazav es Chasidav Li Olam Nishmeru Min HaTaos U Min HaMichshol. He's talking about Yom Nusmol. If the rabbis tell you the right is left and left is right, they're not wrong. There's a certain siyata d'shmaya they have, those who are Sanhedrin. Now, we're not on Sanhedrin, obviously. But even the rabbis, wherever they might be, they have less siyata d'shmaya than the Sanhedrin HaGadol, but there still is a certain siyata d'shmaya that poskim have. And this, of course, AI does not have. So I'll finish off with a great ma'isa there, speaking of Ruach HaKodesh and the siyata d'shmaya, a great ma'isa related to that Gemara on Brachos Yud Aleph from the days. So the ma'isa, at one time, Rav Eliashiv was making a seam on Bab Metzia. And as at the end of the seam, he spoke about why at the end of every seam we list Rav Papa's 10 sons. So he said, because there are 10 places in Shas where there's a machlokas, what to do? Rav Papa says, do like both of them. Do like both of them, they're both right. What bracha to say in seeing a rainbow? The three opinions, say like all of them. Hasn't rained in a while, the Gemara says. Say this bracha, say that bracha. The Papa says, say all the brachas. 10 places. So So he was zocher that his 10 sons are mentioned at the end of every siyum to the 10 places where he was machriya b'nem, where he brought shalom into the world. So there's a curious person who was attending that siyum. He wanted to know where the 10 places are. So he searched on the computer. He searched on whatever search engine he has, Bar Ilan, Otzer Chachma, Google, I don't know what. He found 9 places where Papa's name is mentioned countless times, but 9 places where Papa was machriya the din. He searched again and searched again. He couldn't find the 10th place. Now, Rav Yashiv was very old at the time. He couldn't get access to Rav Yashiv, so he went to his son-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He goes to Bnei Brak and says, Yeshver had a beautiful idea, but he was wrong. Rav Chaim laughed and laughed. Rav Chaim is known to laugh. He had a good sense of humor. He laughed. He was very serious, but he had a very good sense of humor. He says, you think the computer is smarter than my Yeshver? Look in the Gemara bracha Daf Yud Aleph Mem Beis that we just saw. The Gemara goes on to say, "What bracha do you say in Birchas Torah? Is it Lasat B'Devei Torah? Is it Vaharivna? Is it Asher Bracha Banu?" Says Rav Hamanuna, "Hilchach Nimru Kulu." Say all of them. The Kivegar on the side says it's supposed to be Rav Papa in the Gemara there. That didn't come up in the search. Everyone, have a wonderful day.